Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome aboard to Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com, the Wednesday, April 16th, 2014 edition. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along this evening. And as usual, the chat room is open for business. I've already gotten quite a few notices on Facebook from people saying, yeah, we like it. Yeah, that's great. I hear from a lot of people that Facebook may soon be going away. I don't know if that is true or not. If Facebook does go away, then it goes away. There have been other internet things that people have tried. I don't know if foisted is the right word, but there was something called MySpace. And I then heard Garrison Keillor doing a spoof routine that he had come up with something called Face Space. I thought that was funny. I think Garrison Keillor is a very talented, very funny guy. I also think he is a ridiculous left winger and nothing more than a damn treasonous commie. But I digress. 718-305-7176 is the number here. I see that our international correspondent, Christian, has called in from outside Copenhagen. Christian, go ahead and give me a call, because in about 15 minutes, I will be joined on air with my virtually lifelong friend, Ed Troy, who is calling in from Colorado. Ed refers to himself as the liberal gladiator or liberal warrior or liberal defender or some. I guess I just don't see how anyone can look at what has happened in this country over the last 5 to 6 years and say, hey, no problem, Obama's doing a good job. I've got news for everyone. He is not doing a good job. That's Look, that is really not open to question or speculation. There are diehard leftists, people that really hate this country, and they get into government here because they want to do as much damage to the country as they possibly can. And that is, Obama has put a bunch of those people in. I think Obama himself is probably one of those people. I'm asking folks in the chat room right now how the audio sounds, and that you may recall last week was the first week in which I was using my brand new Behringer Xenix 1204 board and MXL 770 mic. And I hope that we have it operating correctly. With Blog Talk Radio, there is no way to determine what you sound like when you're on the air. It doesn't work that way. And the fact that I remember back in '95 when I was working at a radio station in Washington D.C. Perhaps you have heard of it. It is called WTOP. Yes, okay, Christian is saying that the sound is fine. Christian, go ahead and call in, buddy. I'd love to chat with you. We've got another 15 minutes or so in which to do that. But I love WTOP because they have the glass enclosed nerve center. I also love them because WTOP is without question the single most important radio station in the world. It is an all-news radio station in Washington, D.C. It is listened to by virtually every congressman, senator, everybody. I mean, that's the if you live in D.C. and you're serious about the news, that's the station that you listen to. That's all there is to it. And I had a wonderful position there. I was flying the traffic helicopter. I would say station helicopter, but it was actually my helicopter. And I really, really enjoyed it. It was a wonderful time. Why don't we go right to our international correspondent, Christian, calling in from Denmark. Guten Tag, or how does one say hello in Danish, Christian?
We just say good day. Great.
Good day?
Fine.
All right, very fine.
Yeah.
How are you doing, pal?
We're doing fine over here. But then again, you know, we are somewhere away from Russia, you know, so we're not getting invaded any of the coming weeks.
Well, it looks like the Ukrainians can't exactly say that, can they? Because it looks to me like they are going to get invaded at some point in the next couple of weeks. And
yeah.
I think that Vladimir Putin is aware that Barack Obama is so timid and he's such a weakling and he's so basically craven and cowardly and kind of spineless and gutless that he isn't going to do anything about it.
Yeah, I think that he senses that he's a lame duck president. He's weak on foreign policy. He's weak on the military. So he knows that he can play freely now, because nothing, you know, America's not going to react to that. And when America's not reacting, then there's only like the EU left, and the EU never act in anything, you know. They're more like sending out their, declarations and such. No real action behind those. So, you know, he knows that he can play freely. And the old Russian, the old Soviet Union states are paying the price for it.
Well, several of those former Soviet republics are now members of NATO, such as the Baltic states.
But NATO's not going to
do anything. NATO is a very, very strong alliance in that an attack on a NATO country by the NATO North Atlantic Treaty Organization signatories is to be viewed in the same way as an attack on their own home countries. So if someone
were to attack
Tallinn, pardon me?
Yeah, that is a theory, but it's not always the case, is it?
No, well,
so it is
you
more
know,
like
if,
theory.
If Russia were to roll into the Baltic states under the guise of protecting the Russian-speaking population in those countries or under the fig leaf of trying to maintain the territorial and cultural integrity of Kaliningrad or Ekaterinburg or whatever that outparcel of Russia is on the Baltic, then NATO would be obligated to roll in there and defend Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland. But if NATO did not, that would pretty much be the end of NATO. It would no longer exist as a viable treaty organization because it would no longer have any credibility.
And that is true. And that is so very true. But I think that has been, you know, not been talked so much about is the fact that many of these old Soviet republics, they have people with mixed ethnic background, because there are a lot of ethnic Russians living in those countries, and they feel more. They don't even know. You see it very clearly in these days in Ukraine. There's a lot of Russian people living there that are Ukrainian citizens, but really feel like they're Russians, and really, you know, like glad that Russia is coming and taking over. So I think that's something that I think is very interesting and makes it all a bit blurry, because it's not like a classic case of where you have one sovereign nation, a sovereign people, being invaded by another sovereign nation and a sovereign people, because they are mixed. So there are actually a lot of the ones in those parts of Ukraine that really applaud the Russian invaders and more view it as some sort of liberation. And that makes it all very blurry.
You know, what one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist, and one man's intractability and intransigence is another man's commitment and principle. And I suppose to some extent, it depends upon how you look at things. But the way I see it, if you take that to its extremes, then you no longer have actual meaningful national borders. You know, if it is basically, you know, well, what there are ethnic Slavs, there are supposing there was, and there might be, for all I know, an ethnic Danish population centering around Malmo, Sweden. Who knows? Maybe there is. Maybe there's one near Trondheim, Norway. Would that give Denmark the you know, the ability or the moral right to simply invade Norway and say, look, there are people that are ethnically Danish living here, and we have to protect them from else in Trondheim and Bode and Bergen and Telemark and everywhere else. You know, I don't think
actually,
so.
When you look at history, Denmark has been to war with Sweden about for the rights of the southern parts of Sweden many times, you know, over 100, but then we go, you know, like 150 years back. But back in those days, we were to war like on a regular basis over that, and we've also been to war with Germany about where exactly the border should be between Denmark and Germany. But of course, usually we lost when we were fighting the Germans. But you know, we gave it a good try. We gave it the old college try. but we did lose most of the times. So actually, the Danes kind of developed this attitude that we really didn't want to go to war because, unlike America, you know, we pretty much lost every time. So we found out that way
in the last couple of hundred years. Yeah, in the last couple of hundred years, Denmark has become smaller and less military. But there was a time when Denmark was a world power, and those were probably good times because. I don't know about you, but I like the Vikings and the Scandinavians. I have no problem with them.
We did too. Interesting fact. Denmark is one of the nations we have lost most soldiers' lives in Afghanistan than most on any other nation when you look upon how many citizens that we are in Denmark.
Oh, proportionally.
Actually lost the most. So we are
Denmark.
The last 10 years been a fighting nation again.
Denmark, you know, every nation in the world, no matter who they are, has the right to have a military to defend themselves and to act under their alliances as their alliances dictate, and that's what Denmark did when America was attacked. By forces that were housed in Afghanistan. Bear with me for one moment, Christian, all right? I just want to make sure that everyone knows that not only is conservativenationmedia.com the only conservative internet talk show network with an actual international correspondent, we are growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own radio program. Remember, he and Michael used to be on the air together, and I actually thought that both of them could carry their own programs, which they do. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and his love of America to American by Design, Sunday evenings, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. It follows immediately on the heels of the Michael Berryman show on Sunday. So stay tuned and stay with Conservative Nation Media right now, every day except Friday, but I expect to have an announcement about that very, very soon. We are making some big changes, and we are just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Christian, what are the Danish people saying about the Russians' actions in Crimea and in Ukraine?
Actually, the Danish politicians, you know, they are all about that Putin is putting his bad, and they in words only, but still, you know, they support the Ukraines and the Ukraine's people's right to their own country, but it's only in words. You know, we are that clear thinking that we know that we can't fight Putin. You know, we can't fight, and we don't really want to. I think that most Danish people, if they are honest with themselves, and I guess it is the same in America too, but I know it is here that they really don't give a damn. You know, to be honest, you know, I know it sounds awful because the poor Ukrainian people, but I don't really think that they give a damn actually. They go on about living their lives, and it's far away, and they don't really care if a part of Ukraine belongs to Russia or Ukraine, and then you can say, what does it really matter, you know? Not to quote Hillary Clinton.
That I am very, very sorry to hear that. The idea that the European individuals are just not interested in standing up to a bully like Putin, I think is,
we're not
you know,
used to that
is tragic.
We're not used to that sort of patriotism and being strong and defending, you know, like America, you know, like the American people, they're used to be taught to be strong and to defend the weak and to go out and fight. The European people have not, like, been raised to be like that, you know.
Well,
it's different.
I think that you should do everything that you can to do something about that. And the fact of the matter is, if there is no patriotism, there's no country. You know, that's really what it comes down to. Christian, I've got to get going, but thank you so much for calling in, and I do look forward to speaking with you again next week.
And let me just wish all your listeners a happy Easter. Happy Easter from Denmark.
Thank you. And a happy Easter to you and all of the Danes. Thank you, my friend. I look forward to speaking with you again. What a great guy Christian is. All righty. Ed Troy will be joining me in a moment or two. He is calling in from Colorado. We are going to take a quick break. More of your calls and a discussion about liberalism with my lifelong friend Ed Troy when we come back. So don't go away.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore, and frustration a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy and giving up impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Hi, this is Michael Berryman. inviting you to join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on The Michael Berryman Show. Right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
Listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
All right, welcome back, Mr. and Mrs. North and South America and all the ships at sea and all that kind of stuff. Little Electric Light Orchestra action there. I just adore the Electric Light Orchestra. Somebody that I like almost as much as I like the Electric Light Orchestra, my lifelong friend, Ed Troy, formerly of Potomac, Maryland, now of Colorado. Buddy, what's going on out there, pal?
Well, we're just getting over, we're finishing up the ski season here. And so things are warming up into the 30s and 40s and even the 50s here. I think a couple times we've had some decent weather. Warm weather for most people, warmer weather, let's put it that way. We still have a
fantastic.
Bit of
all right.
We've got a precipitation drought still, or a groundwater drought, so we still need more precipitation because this state can definitely burn, as I'm sure you probably noticed in the news last year, a couple of years ago.
Oh, yes.
Had some huge fires.
Yeah, there are. There are climactic cycles out there that, no matter what, it's going to be dry and then it's going to be soaked and everything else. Now, in Colorado, what have you heard people's reaction to the Bundy ranching situation that took place in Nevada late last week? What is the general tenor of people's thoughts? Have you heard people say anything about it?
Not a word. I mean, I have my own take on it, but I actually have honestly not heard one word from any of my friends over the matter at all. Nothing.
Very interesting. Hello? I would love to hear your opinion.
Well, I guess my situation is that when I take a look at things like that, and I take a look at, are things like rights and... Are they evenly distributed in fact as well as in name, or are they not? And I have to question myself in this way. Would you and I be able to go over there and avoid paying potentially millions of dollars of user fees for using public lands, which is what the Bureau of Land Management actually has in its possession? These are considered public lands, and while they can be used, you can't just go in there for free and use them as a resource. So, I mean, you're allowed to hike in them. You're allowed to walk in them. You're allowed to do a lot of things. You're allowed to do hunting in them, I believe. But what you're not allowed to do is go in and take your cattle. And we do have BLM, a lot of BLM land here in Colorado, too. And, those people they do have to pay a fee. And... My feeling is that it's unfair for one guy to not pay if everybody else is paying and playing by the rules on land owned by the American public via the Bureau of Land Management. If I can't do it, then he shouldn't be allowed to do it, is the way I look at it.
Well, if the land is owned by the American public, I don't know why the federal, I mean, there's nothing in the Constitution, certainly, that entitles the federal government to own any land other than territories of the United States, possessions of the United States, and the District of Columbia. So, there's a large question a lot of people are asking now, why does the federal government own so much land in this country? Shouldn't the American people actually own that land?
Well, the American people do own the land, through our federal government, because we do have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that's a fairly well-established historical fact, and that entitles the American public to use the land, but not to use it for their own personal use as a self-enriching resource without paying for that use, because that use would then deny other people potentially from using it for the same purpose. So if this, if Clive and Bundy's cattle had other people that wanted to take their cattle on that same bit of land, well, that might be a degradation of that resource for that second person coming in, even if it were free. And so that's why they actually charge people to actually go in and use that land. And you're allowed to keep your cattle on certain parts of the or parcels, if you will. It's kind of like you go out and getting a tag for hunting. You know, whether you're going to, you know, you go out and you get a specific tag. You're going to go out and get a male bear. Or excuse me, we don't want to go for a bear, but elk and deer and things of that sort. Or you get a permit you can get a permit for something like a bear, but I don't. You know, personally, I feel like that's a horrible thing. A bear is about as smart as our dogs. And, you know, I'm not into killing our dogs, so I'm not into killing bears either. And plus...
I'm really, you know, even though I just finished a totally magnificent hamburger for dinner, and even though I absolutely respect the absolute right of Americans to hunt, I don't hunt myself because I just love animals. I'm a real kind of softy when it comes to that sort of thing, but I digress. Do you think the federal government's response was correct, showing up there with armed guys and armored personnel carriers, helicopters, tasering people, you know, that sort of thing? Do you think that was a correct response on the part of the federal government?
Well, you know, from a legal perspective, I absolutely do think it is the correct response. From a political and social, you know, as well as a social perspective, I think it probably was not a good thing, because our society views things, or parts of our society views such actions with a very jaundiced eye, and it could be seen as the government turning its guns on its own people kind of thing. The problem is that every single one of those people who were challenging or ostensibly in defense of Clive and Bundy are also technically in violation of the law. And so, you know, some people want to have it both ways. They want to say, well, you know, under the law or rule of law, you've got to be doing A, B, C, and D, and if you don't do that, then you know what? You go to jail. And there's a lot of people of that, and they're, you know, pro-death penalty. The law said, hey, you know, a guy has to be put to death, so you know what? You put him to death. And in this situation, they're saying the law, these same people undoubtedly would say that this guy going out there, and, you know, it's the government going against this person, and quite honestly, under the law, there's absolutely no question, none whatsoever, even from an ethical basis, there's absolutely no question that the government was in the correct here in this particular case, as they were with Waco and as they were with Ruby Ridge, despite the lawsuits, the civil lawsuits to the contrary. There's absolutely no question that that from a legal perspective, the government was correct in every one of those cases. The reason why this didn't end up by Ruby Ridge or Waco is because those two already happened, and I don't think that the Obama administration or whoever was responsible for this decision was willing to have especially a Waco on their hands. Whoever it is, I mean, they don't want to be the next Janet Reno. And quite honestly, I don't blame them. I mean, that's a very ugly situation.
Oh, it absolutely was. Now, can I ask you to stand by for a moment or two? We've got to take care of a tiny little bit of network business here, and I'd like you to rejoin us in a moment or two, so please just stand by, Edward. What an absolutely, you know, I have never shied away from arguing with people whose political views are dramatically different from my own. I enjoy it, but I really love it when a person can articulate their outlook the way Ed does without getting emotional and without yelling and screaming, and that's what I normally get from liberals. One of the worst things that can happen to an American today, aside from the Bureau of Land Management of the Department of the Interior coming to take your cattle, is to be victimized by identity theft. If it does happen to you, and I hope it does not, it could take months, maybe even years to recover from it, if you can recover at all. So don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock, as you know by now, is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365, 24 days a week. As Leslie Nielsen once said, there's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Click on the LifeLock banner. You will be very glad you did. You will also be very glad that you stand by here. We've got about 2.5 minutes worth of announcements, and after that, back with Ed Troy. And I see someone calling in from Maryland, so everyone stand by and stay right where you are.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs, the Delaware Society of CPAs, and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Robin Zander.
Hello, this is Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick for Rad.
Some people think it's fun to drive drunk, but that's unacceptable.
Be smart. If you drink,
don't drive.
Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
Want to help those affected by Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines? To donate, visit philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. That's philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Meadows, host of Graceland. Join myself and author Curtis Mang on Thursday nights for some common sense conservatism from the soul of the South. That's Graceland from 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern, 9 to 10 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Wade, and you're listening to Conservative Nation Radio. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
All righty, welcome back. People ask me all the time, is Kevin going to run for the Senate again? And Kevin and I have worked out an answer, and the answer is, and this is, I'm not making this up, the answer is he has not yet made a decision as to whether or not he is going to run, but if he did decide to run, I would not be one bit surprised. Let's bring Ed Troy back. I can get the right button pushed here. We've got a gentleman calling from Maryland who's going to join us in a moment. Ed, let me ask you this concerning Clive and Bundy and the BLM, and then maybe we can move on to something else. In the United States, which is a higher law, the U.S. Constitution or laws passed by the Congress?
Well, obviously, the laws passed by the Congress would theoretically, if they're in the form of an amendment, be a part of the Constitution. Otherwise, congressional legislation is really an act, which is not technically a law or a constitutional amendment. And so if you divide it along those lines, then obviously constitutional law takes precedence over anything and everything else when it comes to law. And those and any decisions where there's a question about that goes to the Supreme Court for final, arbitration, if you will, and adjudication. And that is truly it. Now, it can be revisited later on with another court or, different justices or under different circumstances, as was, the 19th Amendment, which brought prohibition, and then the 21st Amendment, which then, of course, then reversed it. And so there are things that can happen to the Constitution, no question about it. But, for purposes of our discussion here, there's no question, absolutely none, constitutional law takes precedence over any other law in this land, including agency rules and regulations and congressional acts, and obviously any kind of a state or municipal government or county government type of act or state law. All of it is underneath constitutional law.
All right, very fine. Now then, obviously there are very, very serious problems taking place now in Eastern Europe. Russia has invaded a sovereign country, took about 20% of that country's land away from it, the Crimean Peninsula, taken from Ukraine. Now there are Russian forces that are massing on the Ukrainian border at the Crimean Peninsula on the Black Sea. And what, if anything, do you think the United States or NATO should do about it?
This is really one of the most awful, horrible situations that one could imagine, a scenario that is quite reminiscent of the 1930s with Germany taking over, for instance, pieces of Czechoslovakia, what was then called Czechoslovakia, which of course is now divided itself into, four different sovereign nations. At the time, it was called Czechoslovakia. And Hitler seized the Sudetenland along the mountain ranges that were very protective of the rest of Czechoslovakia. And I believe that's called Anschluss. And
yes.
Unfortunately, today we have thermonuclear weapons. And so the threshold or the options are extreme. There's a gap, a huge gap. Basically, what we're doing is probably all we can do, and we're open to getting retaliation against Europe, Western Europe in particular, by Russia shutting off Gazprom, shutting off oil flow and natural gas to Western Europe. Definitely a possibility. And we are not facing too much trouble domestically because we have our own petrochemical, petroleum and natural gas industry and sources here. It won't affect us directly, but it will affect our markets because Europeans won't be able to buy as many of our goods, import our goods, which would damage our economy secondarily. But that being said, we still, regardless, when it goes back to options, we're basically limited to the equivalent of sending Putin Vlad, if you will, I guess the Impaler. We might as well just go full bore on that.
He's not Vlad Sepish. No, he would probably like to be known as Vlad the Impaler, Ed. But I don't think
I know,
he actually
that's what I'm saying. He is he's an impaler. He's a monster. There's no question about it. But what do? We, I mean, basically, all we can do is send him a mean email and say, Vlad, stop impaling Ukraine. You've stolen the most valuable piece of real estate that they have, as well as their main harbor. And then the other thing is what, bringing up 50 NATO divisions in armor and, you know, up to, you know, to this Eastern Front, or, you know, some kind of thermonuclear exchange. I mean, short of that, we really don't have a whole lot we can do. I mean, we've got basically nothing we can do, you know, to go in there, because I don't think that this country or Western Europe has the stomach to go into some long ground war or attrition kind of thing, shooting at each other. You know, I mean, the variables are so out of control here in terms of possible scenarios and retaliation that I personally would not feel very comfortable with our country trying to get NATO to send, you know, the 50 divisions out there to protect Ukraine. You know, and I'm not, and I'm 100% against what you know, the Impaler has done, you know, to Ukraine, and what they are probably planning to do with the eastern portions of Ukraine. Nevertheless, we are in a relatively powerless situation. This is in their backyard. We can't do anything about it. I mean, we can, but what we can do about it invites catastrophic consequences that I don't think anybody's willing to go for. And we're already in a situation where there's probable retaliation going to take place via, you know, restrictions or extreme reductions of you know, natural gas and oil and gasoline going to Western Europe. That is almost certainly going to happen, and regardless of any, you know, any contracts between corporations, you know, the Impaler doesn't really care about that. I mean, the guy waited for the Sochi Olympics to end before doing this. I mean, you know, come on, the guy is great at gamesmanship, brinksmanship, and he knows that we're in a situation where we're tired of Afghanistan, tired of Iraq, tired of the Middle East, tired of war, tired of taxes and our boys being spent on a bunch of, you know, jerk-offs over there. And now the idea of dealing with the Russian front, which is legendary to Napoleon and Germans, I just can't imagine us, anyone coming up with a plan that would suggest that we go in that direction. There just isn't a whole lot we can do. I mean, I suppose we could send them a few tanks and some planes and, you know, and some small arms, but, I mean, realistically, the Soviets I still think like the Soviets, but the Russians roll their armored divisions into. We don't have anything. We don't have an answer to that at all. I mean, put salt in the water wells and burn the fields and throw DDT onto the soil so they can't use it. I mean, I don't know. What are we going to do? What are they going to do? I mean, it's an ugly situation. And it is tragic, it is wrong, it is ethically wrong, it is morally wrong, it is a violation of sovereignty, it's a violation of treaties that have gone on for a long time, it's a violation of Khrushchev's order giving the Crimea to Ukraine back in 1953. I mean, there's so much wrong with this action, but there's so little that can be done to counter it. It's a very bad situation. It's like looking at a chessboard. And in three moves, you might get checkmated or drop your queen or, you know, be put into a situation where there's just no way you're going to win the game.
Well, Ed, I sure am glad that FDR and, those guys were not thinking that way about Germany and Japan in the early 1940s. But I digress. Ed, can you stand by one moment? Okay.
Well,
let me make one or two quick announcements here. Then we're going to bring in a fellow from Maryland who has a show on the same network called Moving Forward. We, of course, are conservativenationmedia.com, and we start off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's called Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Now, even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are beginning to spread out all over the country. David Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Now let me welcome to Radio Free America, moving forward. Sir, you are calling from Maryland, and you and I and Ed are going to discuss these things. How you doing tonight? Welcome aboard.
Oh, hey, Duke, and hey to your guest, Ed, tonight. I hope you're having a good time and out there telling it, having a great time. I'm a former BTR host on Blog Talk Radio. I haven't done a show in a long time. Got one out there still posted out there on Blog Talk Radio in the archives. But I call in to venues from time to time. So enjoying your show tonight.
Well, thanks very much. What do you think we ought to do about Putin? That unreconstructed Stalinist, which is exactly what he is. He's a commie and he's a pig.
Well, you know, those are some, you know, pretty broad caveats that are being thrown out there. I mean, I was actually calling into some of the previous topics you discussed. You guys have been all over the map tonight, and in just a few sound bites, you went from what's going on here in America, Americana, all things American, out in Nevada, and then, you know, moved into Eastern Europe, and I think from your show tonight you're going over to Korea, and I think I know a little bit about each subject, you know, and what was quite interesting, Duke, is Ed, you brought up, you went everywhere from Czechoslovakia to Putin in like a mile high minute. I use a little Colorado pun for you, and I'll say ahoy to all of my Czech and Slovak friends out there. And
don't forget,
I guess now your question's about our Dubrovnik brothers. So what do I think of what's going on with Putin?
Yes.
Well, that's hard to say. You know, it was brought up earlier in the show that it's about the U.S. Constitution, right? You were talking about Nevada. And, you know, what powers did we give our government? What powers did our states give the federal government under the Constitution? And what powers, you know, it's not what the government says they can do. It's what the states and the American people say the federal government can do. And that's the rub. So you take it all the way from Nevada, where you've got some pretty awesome people, you know, having a hard time. And you have this infantry battalion of federales with sniper rifles. And I've been watching the whole thing unfold like almost full time, and never in my life did I think that we'd have, you know, thugs out there pointing rifles at American people. I never thought that. I don't know what to say. And now we went from just discussing Nevada tonight, which is a discussion in itself, all the way to, you know, what Putin's doing in Ukraine. So, hey, if you want to take little pieces at a time, I'll be glad to, and, you know, ask some precision questions, you know?
All right. Why don't we do that after we take a quick break? Ed, and moving forward in Maryland, can you guys stand by another 2 minutes or so?
Awesome show. Yes. I'll be glad to stand by.
All right. Thanks very much. All right. We are going to take a real quick break, and more of your calls are straight ahead, so stay right where you are.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with Brie? But everybody likes Brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early, so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All right, welcome back. That, of course, the mighty Adi Amos, I just utterly adore. And that thing goes all the way back to about 1996. Let me bring Ed Troy from Colorado and a gentleman who goes by the name of Moving Forward from Maryland back on. Ed, let me ask you a question. You unabashedly and without any reservation describe yourself as a liberal. And I respect that. You know, okay. Now, there are many really key differences between liberals and conservatives. One of them is the liberal view and the conservative view of the role of government in people's lives. Another one is, and this one is not one that is spoken about all that much, I don't think, is what should motivate a person. As a conservative Republican, I believe that a person can be motivated by anything that they want to. If that motivation is cash, then that's fine with me, as long as they don't steal it from somebody else. If that motivation is some form of purely personal and emotional satisfaction, as long as they don't step on somebody else's rights, you do what you want. But it seems to me that the liberals have a belief that there are certain areas of society and there are certain individuals in society that ought not to be motivated by what some people refer to as financial or material gain. Would you agree with that?
Well, this liberal used to be a Series 7 and 63 licensed stockbroker in the capital markets and securities.
A registered representative, right?
Absolutely. That is correct. I was used to be a registered representative. So, I am a capitalist, but I do believe that there should be some regulations on and in capitalism. And we have laws already, which is one reason why there's a recognized need for law. And before we go any further with this, I think it's really critical that we establish, and hopefully we have an agreement between the three of us here on this one salient point, and that is that our federal constitution is top down, and it is set up as a concession by every state that has signed on and become a state to have the state's right rules and regulations subservient to the control of the federal government via the United States Constitution. And as such, that is what actually allows things like agency regulations and rules to take place, as well as congressional acts. The only thing that I did forget this, the only thing that is outside of that realm of constitutional law is when Congress signs a treaty with another nation. That is the absolute highest bond that this country has, period, is a treaty that is signed by us where we are either obligated or someone is obligated to us. It's usually shared or mutually shared obligation to each other with this other sovereign nation or entity or whatever it is. But that salient point is very critical in resolving the issue from a legal perspective with those in Nevada defending Cliven Bundy. And as such, Nevada is a state, and that state is subservient to our federal constitution. And the power that the federal government does have is actually a concession, legal concession, agreed to by the state of Nevada and all the other 49 states. Now, you do bring up the District of Columbia. I am not quite sure what the deal is with that, to be honest with you. However, the other states, and I believe the territories also, are under the federal constitution. And as such, that's why I said the law, the government is correct in the within the context of law. It may not be correct within the context of social acceptance or political, in terms of, you know, in the realm of politics, but it's certainly absolutely well within its rights in taking that action. In fact, if the federal government had done Holden Other Waco legally, they would still be correct, because that is, again, it is a concession, and that is, you know, unless a state wants to pull out and say, hey, look, we're not part of the United States anymore, then that state does not have a right to decide whether the federal government can pretty much do anything.
They never did, because the Constitution specifically says that states may not form separate alliances, and it even says they may not form a confederation. My question is this: do you think that changing the way U.S. senators take office in 1913 changed the balance of power between the federal government and the people in the states? Because prior to that, the state legislatures appointed United States senators, and after that, the people directly elected the United States senators, which means that the states themselves, as separate political entities, no longer have a voice in the federal government. So now, as you said, the federal government can basically tell states what to do. One example is, I believe it was called Proposition 8 in California, where overwhelmingly the voters in California voted for a state constitutional amendment that defined marriage as a union between one man and one woman. A federal judge who was himself homosexual decided that basically he didn't like what the voters and the population of California had to say, so he was simply going to void it. I'm wondering if that's what the founding fathers had in mind. I kind of think it's not. We've got about 30 seconds on this. So, Ed, and moving forward, go ahead and wrap it up quickly if you can.
Well, I haven't had any time to talk, so... I'll just wait and let this gentleman, I'll let old Ed keep talking. If you want to leave me to talk later, that's fine. If not, I'll hang up. But I haven't had time to, you know, respond to this broad
all right.
set of statements.
Gents, why don't we ahead and wrap this up then? We only have a couple of seconds until the break at the top of the hour for the news. I would love to have both of you back on the air at some point very soon. All righty?
Well, God bless our republic, and remember, each state has its own constitution. And
which is subservient to the federal Constitution.
No, no. The federal government is subservient to all of us.
No, that is incorrect.
Bring back the Article 5 Convention. And
yeah, the Article 5 defines how.
Hey,
to
you
make
got
an
all
amendment.
Kinds of time to talk. Man,
okay.
I don't. Have you ever served in the military, my friend?
No, but I know how to read the Constitution. Read Article 5.
You've never taken
neither
a vote.
Have
I get it now. I get it.
Okay, no, it's
okay.
Not. I get
well,
it. Either,
now,
either you can read
forward,
Article 5
moving
of the federal
forward.
Constitution. Or
all right, gentlemen, listen. All right, well, moving forward left is Ed. As you're aware, I never served in the military. Our friend Chris Baker, may he rest in peace, never served in the military. Bruce didn't, Bart didn't, Jim, none of our, you know. And now, from my perspective now, being 58 and a half, frankly, I am ashamed of the fact that I never served in the military. But you don't have to have served in the military to have a valid opinion. Or at the, you don't even have to have a valid one. In this country, you can express your opinions if you want to. And I'm not really sure why that fellow from Maryland went that way with that particular comment. I'm not sure. Ed, I'd like to have you back again at some point soon. Okay, buddy?
I would love to come back. And I'd like for him to come back, too, because he's yeah. thinking that because if you weren't in the military, that you don't understand the Constitution. And Article 5 is very, very short. Is one of the most important articles in the federal Constitution. It is, and it is a true original intent type of thing because it is an article, not an amendment, and merely tells legislators how to change and amend the Constitution. And
That's right.
I don't know where he's coming from, but you can read it. It's very, very plain, very, very short, unlike some of the other articles, which go on and on. But
they can be a little bit detailed.
Yeah, they're very detailed. This is Article 5 is a very nuts and bolts type of article. And it says, the Congress can change the law by having three-fourths of the, I'm not looking at it right now, but three-fourths of the Congress and two-thirds of the Senate or three-fourths of the state legislatures can vote on something and create an amendment. So either one of those two routes can go there. And that is how you change the federal Constitution. Now, some people may not like that process. They may not like how it reads. But nevertheless, that's how it is. And, I'm not trying to be mean to the guy. I want him, but I don't want to be dismissed for as though I don't understand what it means because I didn't take an oath or anything like that. I'm an American citizen. I care about my country a great deal, as I know you do. And I think that we both care. We've had many discussions off air about things over the years, and I think we're in agreement on about 90% of things because we are Americans. We share that. I have more in common with you than I do with a liberal in Saudi Arabia or Russia at this point in time. And there's no question about it.
Well,
we care, and I know we care. And so I'm not worried about the fact that you care. But I do worry about someone who thinks that for some reason, somehow, that the federal Constitution is below, quote, states' rights. The Civil War, one of the biggest questions about the Civil War was quite simply, is that true? Is the Confederation legal? And the only way that the South was able to have a Confederation was through the idea of secession from the Union, where they sought a legal right to do so. And whether it was legal
which
for them
they
to
did
do
not
so.
Have.
Right, that's correct, because they signed the Constitution as a concession to federal law. And once you're in, you don't leave. That's how our Constitution is set up. And, all the folks with their guns that feel like, hey, man, I think that's wrong, you're entitled to your opinion. But it is possible through Article 5 to make that change. And so if people really feel that strongly about it, they should go in, take a look at Article 5, and then ask their congressman to come up or senator to come up with a document that says, hey, we want to have this additional power going directly to the people. Our country is divided in two different ways. Federally,
we already have that.
Yeah,
we already have that. It's
right,
called
know,
the
but,
10th
but,
Amendment.
Right.
You know,
I understand,
now,
but
Ed, listen, I really, I, I
are
do
correct.
Need to get going, buddy. You and I could talk
right.
about this. Listen, why don't we think about something like Wednesday, April 30th, or you know, the first Wednesday in May, which is the 7th, and let's get back on the air and talk about this. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely. We can come back May 7th, and we'll go
all
over
right,
that.
Pal.
This is a big deal, very, very big deal. You know,
yes,
our states are
none
direct
there.
Elections, and therefore a true democracy, and our federal government is Republican, is a republic, where it's indirect democracy. That is a big deal. A lot of people don't understand that. I mean, liberals and conservatives are talking about, oh, it's democracy, oh, this and that, whatever. All right, Duke, I better let you go.
All right.
But
okay,
I
thank
hope
you,
the
my
audience
friend.
Understands where I'm coming from, too.
And best wishes to Mrs. Troy, okay?
Thank you so much, Duke. I appreciate that that personal note there for reasons we've discussed off air before.
Yes, exactly.
Appreciate
all right, thank you, pal. I didn't mean to cut him off like that. Oh, God. Well, you know, anyway, it is absolutely time now, and we're running late, but there's nothing that I would rather do than get a great discussion going on the air with people that have opinions. That's what it's all about.
Here's the news.
And now it's the news.
Every hour on the hour. The weather's fine, but there may be a media shower.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. President Obama traveled to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania today, where he discussed new job training initiatives for out-of-work Americans. The president announced a new $500 million Labor Department grant to encourage businesses to partner with community colleges on equipping students with skills that are currently in demand. Republican Senator Chuck Grassley is requesting answers from the Social Security Administration and the Treasury Department about a program that allows the feds to seize income tax refunds to make up for alleged Social Security overpayments. The program allows the IRS to go after children of deceased parents who may have received more government benefits than they were entitled to. Meanwhile, liberal Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders says that while most Americans paid taxes yesterday, many big corporations like General Electric received refunds. According to Sanders, GE made nearly $34 billion in U.S. profits from 2008 to 2013 and received a total tax refund of almost $3 billion during that time from the IRS. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Hey, Billy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah.
The big one?
Yeah.
The one with the reverse flip?
Yeah!
Well, you can't.
What?
You see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it, including going to the state fair.
Oh, man.
Cheer up. This year, your parents will make it right. They're going to visit EnergySavers.gov, where they'll get tips on how to save energy and money. Then they'll add extra insulation and get a few of those Energy Star appliances. They could save hundreds of dollars a year. And you know what, Billy?
What?
They'll take you to the state fair next year.
But I want to go this year.
I know you do, Billy. I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Alrighty, welcome back. We are running a tiny little bit behind, but heck, it's only the internet, so, you know, who cares, right? This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks is my name, always has been, and, you know, unless the feds come after me, it always will be. The number is 718-305-7176. Michael Berryman is supposed to call in at some point soon. Michael and I have been friends for about a year and a half now. And every once in a while in this life, you meet somebody that you realize you just have a tremendous psychological and ideological affinity for, and Michael is that guy. What a great guy he is. Now, what we have done on our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and in other places that Michael is the internet guy. I'm the radio station sounder kind of guy. And we have posted the unanimous declaration of ideological war against anti-American and leftist forces by conservativenationmedia.com. And I'm going to read it to you. I think you will enjoy it. In strict and objective observance of the changes brought about and the damage done to America these last 50 years, and in a firm resolution to halt and reverse the effects of the actions of those who wish to harm America and remove our beloved country from its position as leader of the free world and of all of mankind, we, the ownership, management, and staff of Conservative Nation Media, hereby make this manifesto and declare war upon those who continue to wreak havoc upon America's culture, borders, language, laws, traditions, constitution, and soul. We, who love our nation more than life itself, do not condemn our fellow citizens lightly, nor do we take this action without having seen changes and desolation brought to our national identity that have become intolerable to us and to America. We earnestly and profoundly regret that our own government, led by those whose ideas are contrary to the decent and respectful patriotism that lives in the hearts of those who love America, has committed our nation to a path of self-destruction. And because so many Americans have little regard for nor obvious interest in the fate of our country, we hereby publicly articulate the causes that impel us to wage this action against the domestic left. I'm going to bring Michael Berryman in here. Michael, how are you?
Brother, can you hear me all right?
I can hear you fine. How me?
Oh, you're sounding great behind that new mic and in that new studio.
Go
ahead and bring me in whenever you want. It's a very long declaration. I dropped the link in the chat board, so just let me know where you want to go with this. I don't know if you want to read the whole thing, but Duke, let me tell you. Well, first of all, thank you very much for those kind words. And if I'm not mistaken, it's going to be 3 years this December. Maybe two.
Well, you know, I can't count, so you might be right. I mean, I didn't realize until I was almost 30 that 1 + 1 does not equal 11. So
well,
you might be right about
that. You know, your words were very kind, and thank you. But, you know, you're right. You and I, and we've been fortunate to have some other people that have come and gone, but that have been an instrumental part of mine and yours business. I mean, this is, you know, I founded it. You're the president, general manager, and that's for a reason. This is our business, Conservative Nation Media, Inc., and you and I, especially you, Duke, you work very hard at what we're doing. And I think it was 2 years ago you had this idea for this declaration of war against the illiberal establishment, and we've tabled it. But I don't
– Not anymore.
Not anymore. It's launched. It's declared, and it's the day after Tax Day 2014. We've declared the war against the Conservative Nation Media has declared war, and what you have written, this declaration that you have written, you, my friend, or the Thomas Jefferson of conservative nation media?
Oh, please, no. Michael, I didn't want you to tell anybody that I wrote this thing. I really, it is inspired by the Declaration of Independence, though. I mean, you know, the Declaration of Independence is...
Go ahead, brother.
I was going to say, let me just, you know, tick off a couple of more of these things here. Then we're going to go to a break, and then you and I will, after we check up on what happened 150 years ago today during the Civil War, which, of course, many people would say was not a war about slavery. It was a war about the Constitution and states' rights, and I wouldn't disagree with that. But
you know, here in the South and in the Southwest, like Texas, because we don't consider ourselves a southern state, that's exactly what we tend to believe. Though that doesn't mean that I would be okay with slavery, because I wouldn't be. But anyway, I digress.
Neither would I.
Do what you need to do,
okay.
And I'll be right here, brother.
Okay. I had mentioned I was reading, and because so many Americans have little regard for nor obvious interest in the fate of our country, we hereby publicly articulate the causes that impel us to wage this action against the domestic left for deliberately violating each and every one of the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, which comprise the most hallowed system of civil rights and guarantees of freedom in mankind's history, the Bill of Rights, for systematically infecting our youth through what remains of our system of public and private education with ideas and unsupportable notions calculated to produce adults who unjustifiably question rather than support the basis of our way of life and the history and theory in which it results. For cheapening our currency through the deliberate abuse of our financial system, threatening to displace it from its position as mankind's reserve currency. For reducing our armed forces' morale, capability, and deterrent strength to a condition from which they cannot complete their assigned missions. For establishing a bureaucratic system of regulators statutorily insulated from and unaccountable to the electorate who systematically abuse and victimize American citizens. For appointing judges to courts across America who, contrary to their sacred oaths of office, refuse to acknowledge the supremacy of the U.S. Constitution as the sole and primary reference in the discharge of their critical judicial duties, for the mistreatment of huge portions of the American population and the unconstitutional seizure of their protected records and communications, for the unabashed and criminal misuse of the system of taxation to ends never intended nor contemplated by the Constitution, for the deliberate and systematic abuse of and obvious dismissal of the legitimate aims, goals, and rights of the American people, and for the clear and present dangers to which our country, adored and admired by mankind for centuries, has been deliberately and recklessly exposed. Now, Michael was right. There's more of this. But what I would like to do at this moment is we're actually going to take a quick break here. When I come back, we will talk a little bit about the Civil War, and then we'll pick up a little bit more on the Declaration. So you stay right where you are.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com. www.amazon.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
Well, welcome back to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And that music, of course, means it's time to bring you up to date on a little bit of our country's history, a period of history that some people would refer to as the unpleasantness. And I understand that. That's an old Civil War reenactor term. 150 years ago today, April 16th, 1864, this is from the Civil War Day by Day, an almanac by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. April 16th was a Saturday in April in 1864. A skirmish at Grand Accord, Louisiana, marked the Red River Campaign. In the Allied Camden, Arkansas expedition, fighting broke out about Camden and at Liberty Post Office, and an affair occurred on the Osage branch of Kings River. Skirmishing erupted at Reatown, Tennessee, Sailorsville, Kentucky, and an affair took place at Catlett Station, Virginia. The U.S. transport General Hunter was destroyed by a torpedo in St. Johns River, Florida. A report on U.S. prisoners since the beginning of the war showed that the Federals had captured 146,634 Confederates. And just as the Confederates were, the Yankees were more than willing to let their prisoners just kind of starve and rot away. Really just bizarre. In any event, we have been talking about the Declaration of War today on our website, conservativenationmedia.com. This is the last part of it. We do not adjudge an entire class of Americans to be at fault. We do not wholly dismiss them as traitors under Article 3, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution, but rather, through observation and attention to clear and obvious facts, conclude that the sitting president of the United States has, through inattention and deliberate acts, encouraged each and every one of the factors now at work to wreck and ruin America. Out of respect for the constitutional office of president, we have patiently endured his abuses, actions, usurpations, and violations these 5 years, but now categorically reject his tenure in office and call for his immediate impeachment, conviction, and removal from office because he has used the taxation apparatus of the U.S. government to suppress the legitimate and lawful efforts of his political opposition, a clear and obvious abuse of power. He has refused, through deliberate inaction, to defend the lives of American diplomats who were attacked inside a sovereign American diplomatic compound in a foreign state, and later mendaciously obfuscated the nature and substance of this deadly attack. He has used the security agencies of the U.S. government to collect and keep the communications records of the American people in the absence, as required by the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, of a legitimate warrant. He has used the Department of Justice to invade the communication records of legitimate journalists in violation of the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. He has used the Department of Justice to harass legitimate journalists employed by journalistic enterprises whose editorial positions were in opposition to his party's agenda. He has refused to protect and defend the physical borders of the United States and used the Department of Justice to bring actions against sovereign states seeking to protect their own citizens from inundation by illegal aliens. He has led the United States Congress in violation of the 10th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution to impose a national health care system under false promises and pretenses that will result in financial burdens upon and a scarcity of medical care available to the American people. He has deliberately ignored the structure and requirements of the United States Constitution in appointing officers to positions of authority over the American people, assuming unto himself and his office the nature and character of a dictator. He has refused his assent to budgetary matters, forcing a reduction in funding to our armed forces and other legitimate functions of government, while reserving to himself sufficient funds to engage in costly trips and political efforts. He has used the law enforcement authority of the U.S. government to physically harass and intimidate legitimate peaceful protests of American citizens whose political ideas are contrary to his own and his party's. He has provided arms and armaments to foreign nations whose stated national goals comprise the destruction of our allies, continued to do so after events in such nations render them, under our laws, ineligible for such aid. He has literally bowed to foreign kings, debasing our national identity as a republic. He has insinuated himself into the affairs of criminal trials and events held within sovereign states, exciting racial animus amongst Americans. He has encouraged the dependency of Americans upon the financial largesse of the U.S. government, causing a distortion in the nature and productivity of the American economy. He has offered, when legitimate questions arose as to the place of his birth, a fabricated and fraudulent document which was dismissed as counterfeit by experienced and knowledgeable experts immediately upon examination. We hereby give public notice to the American people that we call upon the sitting President of the United States and all those who espouse his philosophy to admit their true aims as the destruction of the United States and the abolishment of the U.S. Constitution, to cease and desist in their hostile actions and statements against the legitimate interests of the American people and the American nation, and to either be silent in their reckless condemnation of America or to forever leave the nation which has so generously cared for them, their offspring, and their forebears. Signed, Michael B., founder and chairman of Conservative Nation Media, Inc., yours truly, Duke Brooks, president, general manager, program director, and tape rewinder. Michael, I'm thinking that there are some people that would be extremely upset with us if they were aware that we were doing this. But on the other hand, I don't know about you, pal, but I really just don't give a damn who doesn't like it. What do you think?
I don't give a damn either. And Duke, let me tell you what. I'm very proud of this document. I'm very proud of this document. I'm very proud of what we're doing. This thing is exploding on social media. People are signing this declaration. They're adding their name to their to our voice here at Conservative Nation Media, what you have written. And this thing is today has been a flutter since and we only posted this 2 hours ago, Duke, and it has been I can't hardly keep up with the email. It's been it's hit a nerve with people, Duke. I don't know how to explain it. People are signing up for our newsletter at newsletter. It's newsletter at conservativenationmedia.com. They're responding. They're signing their name to this declaration. You have managed to put in words, and we have managed to publish something that accurately describes the mood of more than half of the country right now. And I can't keep up with the demand on this. It's taking off so much. I mean, I'm at a loss for words. I did want to. You opened up with a day in history on the Civil War. You know, I'm not a big Civil War buff, even though I'm a native Texan. But being a native Texan, March and April are very important months to Texans and should be to Americans as well. You see, on March 2nd, 1836, Texans declared their Declaration of Independence, much like we've done today here at Conservative Nation Media on April 16th, 2014. And on March 27th, Colonel Fannin and nearly 400 Texans were executed by a centralist dictator by the name of Santa Anna, and whom I affectionately give the name to now of to Barack Obama as Santa Anna de Barack Obama, who is a centralist. Make no mistake about it. He is a centralist. He is centralizing power in the District of Columbia. And between March 27th and April 21st, when we had the Battle of San Jacinto and we won our independence, Sam Houston roamed East Texas with something less than 1,000 militiamen when we finally confronted Santa Anna and his Mexican regulars, defeated them, captured him. And rather than execute them, as was our right to do in the spirit of revenge, we set them free to go home back to their country. And, you know, we make this declaration of war against the leftist agenda. Let's make no mistake about it. We're not calling for people to pick up arms against our country.
We're not?
Not yet, Duke. But we are beginning to see that. Look what just happened at Bundy Ranch. We actually had 1,000.
I know.
This not since 1946 at the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, have Americans picked up arms against fellow Americans.
Tell you that thing in Nevada with Clive and Bundy and his cattle and the BLM. Harry Reid has come out and said it's not over. The guy that's running the Bureau of Land Management is like this 33-year-old person that worked in Harry Reid's. I mean, the whole thing, it's just as crooked as the Mississippi River. And by the way, do you know why Lopez de Santa Anna only brought 260 men to the Battle of the Alamo?
Well, actually, he brought about 1,500.
Well,
if you go
however
back,
many he brought, the reason that's the number he brought is that he only had three cards.
No,
I don't care if somebody says I'm a racist. They can sit and they can call me racist, prejudicial, bigoted, homophobic, xenophobic, sheet-wearing, cross, but, you know, they can do all that kind of stuff. I don't care. I don't want this country to begin to resemble Mexico.
Well, no,
and
you're absolutely right,
in Duke. The entire Western Hemisphere, there are only what I would consider to be two failed states in the entire Western Hemisphere, Haiti and Mexico. And, you know, I know a lot of people from places like Bolivia and Brazil and Chile and Argentina. Chile is not a typical South, but every South American and almost all the Central Americans they all look down their nose at Mexico. You know, they all do. They all think, oh, you get, you know, look, I met a guy from Honduras. The guy from Honduras, you know, obviously he speaks Spanish, but he said, look, everybody thinks the Mexicans are nowhere. You know, I just don't want our country to resemble Mexico. Michael, can you stand by a second so we can
yes.
take care of a little bit of CNN business here? It's an important part of the process, you know,
yes.
as
yes,
Burt Reynolds once said. Okay. You know, we mention this often. Let's chat for a moment, you and I, about Patriot Depot. Just when you think that those leftists in Washington have done everything that's barely imaginable, they pull something else, and they're going to keep on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on a rail. But what about in the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of social justice, whatever that is? Don't wait for the left to turn our entire world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, click on the Patriot Depot banner. Don't forget to read the Declaration of War Against the Left and sign the petition. I think you'll be glad you did. At Patriot Depot, you'll find everything from the emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. More coming up, more of your calls, more on the Declaration of War Against the Left. Stay right where you are.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
All righty, welcome back. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. The number is 718-305-7176. Linda walked out of the room when Dear Prudence started. She, you know, for female reasons, she doesn't care for that Beatles song. I, you know, all right, well, whatever. 718-305-7176. A lot of folks in the chat room. I think Mr. Cole from upstate New York is with us. Mr. Cole, I think why don't you go ahead and give us a call? He's in there talking about the New York State mandatory yet totally and completely unconstitutional demand that people register their firearms. You know, they always say, well, this is for safety. It doesn't have anything to do with safety. It is unconstitutional, and it should not under any circumstances, you know, be tolerated. And, you know, we can amend the Constitution. We can put new elected representatives in there. We can put in new senators, new congressmen. Listen, if it were up to me, we would go back to the original intent of the Constitution, which, as I mentioned earlier in my discussion with Ed Troy, was, you know, that senators will be appointed by their state legislators. And that was done away with in the United States. Let me see, which amendment was it? I believe it was the, let's see, the 17th Amendment. Yeah, the 17th Amendment ratified April 8th, 1913, changed the Constitution so that the senators will be directly elected by the people. This took place during a scurrilous period of time in our history that is now known as the Progressive Era. And as a result of the Progressive Era, we now have a federal government that is in control of the states, and we have a tax on income that is there primarily so that congressmen and senators can punish their enemies and reward their friends. And that is the entire reason that the income tax code is what it is. For now, however, America is still the freest country on this earth. And those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for the liberties that we still have. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away. And our very own constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading that charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, I'm sorry, 7 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalisky's Opalisky, Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins, and where the phone number, as always, is 718-305-7176. Christian is making a comment over in Denmark. They have no rights to guns, so they can't protect themselves, and he suggests that we always support our local NRA, and I agree with that. I'm not a member of the NRA. I don't own any firearms. I mentioned that to somebody one time, a late great friend of mine named Hugh Reddit, and he said, you should be ashamed of yourself, Sherwood, not owning a gun, a young guy like you, an American man, not owning any kind of firearm. I, you know, and he's right. Now, I had some Civil War reenactment firearms, which I thought were very cool. you know, Civil War reenactment is an awful lot of fun. And that period in our country's history, you know, the period in English history known as the War of Roses, the House of Lancaster versus, I forget. I used to know a lot about English history. I don't think I've forgotten an awful lot of it. Heck, I'm not the only one. I think that the English have forgotten an awful lot of their own history. In any event, we're going to take a really quick break here. And when I come back, Michael will be with me once again, and we will talk about all kinds of political things. More of your calls coming up, too, so don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
And that, of course, Bernard Herrmann's brilliant score from the Alfred Hitchcock film North by Northwest, starring Cary Grant, Eva Marie Saint. You know, a lot of people, look, let me tell you, Cary Grant was one heck of a, like the ultimate leading man, I think. I think his best line in that film was when James Mason said to him, "And on the 23rd, you checked into the Sherwin Hotel in Pittsburgh as Mr. George Kaplan of Philadelphia." And Cary Grant looks at him and says, "Pittsburgh? I've never even been to Pittsburgh." Okay. All right. Now, let's bring Michael Berryman back in. Michael, you are a guy from Texas. And, you know, I'm wondering when someone in the Texas legislature is going to offer a bill that officially changes the name from the state of Texas to the Republic of Texas.
Well, Duke, you know, that's a very romantic notion. I'm an American.
I'm all about romance, pal.
Well, you know, no, look, look, we have a very, there's a lot of good friends of mine down here that run in our circles, people you know, that belong to the Texas
sure.
nationalist movement. They're good folks, and it's a romantic notion. But look,
Happy Lisa Moore, would she be one of those?
Not to my knowledge, but some other folks.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Look,
well, no, I'm all in favor of that.
You know, as well off as Texas is right now, you know, about 16% of our let me back up here. You know, we run in the red. We run in the black. We've got great business climate down here, good tax climate and everything. But what you don't know, what most people don't realize, is that Texas is one state that relies heavily on federal dollars. If you take away those federal dollars, Texas economy wouldn't look as good as it does. We'd be the 15th. We are the 15th largest economy in the world as a standalone nation. That's what we would be. Ahead of what, 150, 200 other countries? But away those federal dollars, and things don't look so good. So until we can pay our bills and get our affairs in order, I am not a proponent of secessionism. I'm an American first. I'm a proud Texan. Don't get me wrong. I am a very proud sixth-generation Texan, and we can talk about that in just a minute, you know, because you'll oftentimes hear Texans say, when they refer to themselves, well, I'm a fifth-generation Texan, I'm a sixth-generation Texan, I'm a seventh-generation Texan, or whatever. And there's a reason for that. But look, as conservative as we are, as Republican as we are, we just started affecting change in 2012. I mean, really, well, we started in 2009 with the rise of the Tea Party and the grassroots movement, which does sway politics in Texas now. The Tea Party is not dead in Texas. But we're just starting to make change in the legislature and the Senate. And with this runoff and with the general election, we will have the people in place that we need in place in Texas to get us off of the federal tit that Texas is on. Once we can pay our bills and we are self-sufficient, then I might be all for succession or secession. But at the moment, I'm not. If we seceded from the United States, it wouldn't take long till another country gobbled us up, because we can't freaking pay our bills without federal dollars. And that's the dirty little secret that nobody wants to talk about.
They look at it. There are a lot of people who could be completely dependent to federal government wants it. My attitude is the federal government shouldn't be taking the money away from people only to redistribute it back to them or to other people in the first place.
Well,
and
what we've got,
you know,
right now,
if
Duke,
it were
up
got, to me, we wouldn't have a tax on income anymore. Have a tax on consumption.
Well,
that's better, and that way everybody has skin in the game.
We don't have a state income tax in Texas. Now, our property tax is a little bit
high. No, but we have a federal one.
We have a federal one. And here's the problem. And Texas, look, we here in Texas, as much as I love Texas, I'm not going to deny the fact that we are one of the major beneficiaries of federal tax dollars. And look, it's been a generation or more since we've had any Democrat in state office. So I have to blame my own side. But my own side up until 5 years ago was establishment Republicans, just like the ones we have in D.C. That's changing. That's going to change. We're going to get our fiscal house in order, and we will be able to stand alone should the need arise. But, you know, right now people in Delaware are paying for highways in Texas and vice versa. And that's where I agree
that's
with
right.
you wholeheartedly. You know, the 10th Amendment has been, and that's why we made this declaration against the leftist agenda. People don't realize, you know, set aside the second, the first, the second, and the fourth for the moment. The 10th Amendment has been they might as well just wipe with the 10th Amendment right now. There is no 10th Amendment. States' rights have been deteriorated to the point where we have become a de facto centralist government, just like the one that Santa Anna had in 1836, after they Mexico won their independence from Spain and colonial rule or feudalism rule, and the Constitution of 1824 was modeled after our Constitution. It was a federalist country. But once Santa Anna and Mexico broke away from Spain, he became a centralist, and he did consolidate power, and that's what led to the events that made Texas declare their independence. Well, that's where we're at today. That's exactly where we're at today. Power has been centralized in D.C., and the 10th Amendment has all but just went away.
Well, the federal government has violated each and every one of the first 10 amendments of the U.S. Constitution, every single one of them. And, you know, I guess amending the Constitution means as much to that power-hungry crowd in D.C. as the man in the moon. And, you know, speaking of men in the moon, there's nothing in the Constitution that authorized NASA. You know, I mean, I'm the biggest fan that NASA has, but, you know, they are not constitutionally authorized. And
no, they're not. But here's my take on that, Duke. I look at NASA as national defense. See, to me, NASA falls under the federal powers of national defense. So that's how I view NASA. Federal dollars to NASA don't bother me. Federal dollars to the National Arts Society, that bothers me.
Right.
And by the way, real quickly, just a quick shout out to Kristen and RK Collier and Eastern Shore in your chat board. Thanks for joining my brother Duke today and joining us here on Conservative Nation Media. Duke and I very much appreciate it. Anyway, back to you, Duke.
The feds, you know, if you go to Washington, D.C., I've been there quite a few times. I love to go there. I love to walk around the Capitol. I like to go into the building. You can go in there. But you see these people walking around that have these power-hungry looks on their faces. And the kind of individual that wants to make a career out of telling other people what to do, which at the end of the day, that's what government does, you know, and it does it more now than it ever has in the past. Those people are the problem, but we could change in November. We could, in theory, change the entire House of Representatives. We could swap out one-third of the U.S. Senate, but until we enact civil service reform and operate the federal government's bureaucracies in such a way that people that are there for their own personal enrichment or are there just because they were bullies when they were in kindergarten and they are still bullies today, that you can get rid of those people. Michael, we've got about 30 seconds left. What's your outlook on that in 30 seconds or less?
Well, I can't give you an outlook on that in 30 seconds or less. Kristen did want you to ask me about Kristen, and I can't answer that question in 30 seconds or less. But if Kristen will join me next Sunday on my show from 3 to 5 p.m. Central Time, I'll be more than happy to field the call from her or tell her all about Ted Cruz, because I'm original Cruz crew. I was on the Cruz crew in October of 2011 when Tom Leppert, David, when it looked like it was going to be a Tom Leppert and David Dewhurst runoff here in Texas. I know Ted Cruz. He's a good friend of mine. And I'd be more than happy to tell Kristen everything I can about Ted Cruz.
All right. Thank you, my buddy. I look forward to hearing you Sunday afternoon, and have a great evening, pal, and that goes double for all of you. I look forward to speaking to you next Wednesday. Have a great week.